experience, right? So I, like all humans, I ignored God a whole lot this past couple of weeks. I told Denny, I was like, you know, I think I'd really like to try to preach, and he was like, yeah, sure, come on. And so I thought, well, what am I going to preach on? What am I going to preach on? And God kept saying, hey, you need to really get this together. You really need to get this together. You really need to start working on this. You said you were going to do it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I got it. I'll just get to it later. And so I waited until Friday, and I started going, you know, maybe I should start working on something. And so I didn't. And I did it Saturday instead. So everywhere this goes wrong is totally on me. I just think you should know that. But I kind of decided what I needed to preach on was this. I'm not a preacher. I used to think that preaching was the most ridiculous thing in the world. I thought, why do we even do this? Right? We sit and we listen for somebody to preach for 30, 45 minutes. These were the sermons I was used to. And then I came to Gateway and I heard Jeff Metters. And he brought messages, you know? He brought messages. And those were things that really inspired me. And I heard Doc Kenzer. And I heard Brandon Morrow. I even heard John Perrin. You know, I heard things that really, really spoke to me and messages that really mattered. And I thought, what am I doing? Like, I got a lot of acts I'm trying to follow here. This is insane. So I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't know some of that stuff. But what I do know is teaching. That's what I used to do. That's what I was trained to do. I write curriculum for a living. That's what I do now. So one of the things that has always really inspired me was sort of viewing Jesus through that lens. And so I just wanted to share with you some of my thoughts on that, and maybe that will mean something to you. Maybe it won't, but you won't have to hear me again, so it won't matter. When I first started teaching, right, I had this senior class. And if you guys know anything about seniors, right, they're like so hard to deal with, all right? These were some of the roughest kids they had. This was an inner city school. They didn't want to be there most of the time. They really gave me a hard time. And one day I was in class and I had them separated in groups, you know, and I was like, okay, so we're going to do some work. And I was walking around and I was talking to this group and I was talking to this group and I was talking to this group. And finally I stopped at this last group before I started my cycle again. And I got in there and I was like, they weren't doing anything. They're never usually doing anything until I get right up on them, you know. So I was like, all right, what's going on? So I just kind of acted like they were, you know. I was like, all right, tell me what's going on. How are you answering this problem? How are you dealing with this issue? And I talked to him for a little bit, and as I started to walk away, one of the kids, Terrence, he says to me, and I'll never forget how he said it, because he said it exactly like this. Mr. B, you know what you always be doing, don't know what the teacher be doing? What? He said, he ignored the fact that I was totally lost, right? He said, you always be like walking around, talking to us while we doing stuff. What? What do you mean, Terrence? I don't understand. What are you talking about? He says, you know, like when you give us group work or you give us projects or something, you're always like walking around asking us questions, asking what we're doing, talking to us, like not bothering us all the time. What's, you know, I was like, oh, what? See, I was incredulous, right? This is my first year. All teachers do this. I don't know what he's talking about. But so I turned to another student and I said, do your teachers do that too? And that's not what she said. But she said, yeah, pretty much. And I was like, whoa, what do they do? I don't understand. Like, you're doing stuff. How do they know you're, I don't understand. She said, sit at their desk. What are they doing at their desk? And at this point, she started to get a little frustrated with me because I'm giving her a third degree. She doesn't know. She's not a teacher. Because that's their business. I don't know, grade papers. Like, and this is what I'm doing wrong with my career, guys. I'm taking papers home and grading them. I'm not doing them in class. So I was like, I could have walked away, though, right, at this moment. I was like, okay, I'm really baffled. But I turned around to walk away, but I stopped, and I was like, turned around, and I said, Terrence, do you know why I do that? Do you know why I walk around and talk to you? And he stared at me, and I stared at him, staring at me, staring at him, and it was quiet. And finally he said, because you want to make sure we do it right? I was like, good enough. That's good enough, Terrence. And I left him at that. But as I started to walk away, he said one more thing to me. He said, you're all right, Mr. B. And if you don't speak teenager, that means, hey, you're an awesome teacher. You're like the best, right? So I just want to tell you that because I want you to know that I'm a fantastic teacher. I think that's really important to share. I made plenty of mistakes. But I wanted to tell you, because when I was in college learning to be a teacher, I was about as far from Jesus as I could have been in my life. I would have told you I was a Christian, but I was not a Christ follower. All right? Those are different things. Okay? I was culturally a Christian. I might have gone to church. All right? But I didn't care. I didn't do things. And as I learned how to teach, right, and I learned all these principles of teaching and how people learn and think about things and started reading a little bit about Jesus and how he did it, I was like, wow, this guy had it together, you know? And it was part of what brought me back, I think, seeing him through that lens. Go to the next slide. In education, right, for me as a teacher, right, I have to walk around the room and talk to these kids while they're doing stuff because I need to know that they're learning, right? Because I can talk about two types of assessments. You don't really care, but I'll just quickly go over them, right? You have formative assessments, right? And these are the times, this is what I was doing when I was walking around the room. These are informal. They're low stakes. These are the moments where I'm like, hey, I need to understand that you're learning something. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? I'm asking questions. I'm poking. I'm prodding. Rarely are these things on paper. But these are things for me to understand that they're learning. But also, just as importantly, it's for them to understand that they're learning because they need to have confidence. They need to know that they've developed something. Summative assessments, these are the things that personally I don't even care about most of the time. All right? These are the things that are usually for the school. They're high stakes. They're like test grades. These are the things that I was going to say whether they made it. Right? They moved on. Okay? When I give a student a summative assessment, I could make you a list who's going to pass it because I did all those formative assessments up to that point. I already know. All right, next. When I was in school, I had a teacher, right, my methods instructor. He was the guy who taught me to teach. He used to say three things, right? There are three things that make up a great unit or lesson or whatever. You do it for them, you do it with them, and then you let them do it by themselves, right? Every great lesson unit is going to have these three concepts, right? When I look at really the way Jesus teaches, I really feel like he did that. And I think that that's really progressive. He's really interesting because he already started doing things differently than other people when he began. Because if you knew much about like how apprenticeships work, if you wanted to learn something, you went up to the guy who you thought could do it, the blacksmith or whatever he was, and you said, hey, will you teach me to do this? I'm going to work for you. I'm going to do whatever. And he would say yes or no. But Jesus did it differently, right? He went out and he said, hey, John, hey, Peter, come on, we're going to go do some, it's crazy. I'm going to go do some crazy stuff. And they're like, okay, cool, we're going to go with you. So he's already doing things differently. Next slide. So the idea of doing it for them, right, is pretty self-explanatory. You get up and you just do it. And they see you doing it, right? They got to know that you can do it. They got to see it modeled. They got to understand how it happens. You can go to the next one. Sorry, I'm bad at this process. I'm usually clicking it on my own. In Matthew, this is going to seem like it's in a weird order, but in Mark, this comes first. So in Matthew, right, we hear all these parables. This is one of Jesus' like greatest teaching tools. Like he tells stories. Okay, and that's fantastic. It's genius if you don't know. All right. But some of the best results I ever got in classroom were telling stories to kids. They loved it. I could just talk, tell a story, and it was the most captive audience I ever had. But Jesus is telling all these stories, right? He's comparing seeds to the Word of God. He's comparing fish to people and weeds to Satan. I mean, he's got all these great things going on. People are really listening. But when he's done, what's really interesting to me as an educator, right, is that his students, the apostles, they walk up and they're like, Why aren't you telling them these stories? Like, what's going on here? Why don't you just get to the point and tell them the big stuff? And he says to them, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. All right? He's teaching all these people through stories. But what's also really interesting that he's doing is he's teaching the apostles to teach. And that's really cool. Because he's doing it in a really kind of roundabout way. They didn't understand why he's telling stories. And he's letting them come up and ask questions, and he's answering them as he goes. And you guys know, if you've read any, right, he's going around, he's performing miracles, he's helping people, and all along the way, the apostles are like, oh, hold on, why are you saying this? Why are you doing that? Why are you treating that person that way? Why are you helping him? Why are you going and speaking to those people? Constantly. And he answers. sometimes getting really frustrated with him, but he answers all the time. He's doing it for them, right? And then when they ask questions, he answers. Next slide. In Matthew, Jesus, there's this place where Jesus, we call it the limited commission, I guess, some people write. There's this point in time where he takes his apostles and he's like, all right, now I'm going to send you guys out. I want you to go do some of this stuff, okay? And he doesn't go with them, all right? He goes out. He sends them out to do all this stuff. In my opinion, this is a formative assessment, all right? So I told you, right, teachers need to know that people are learning and that they can do stuff, right? And you got to know ahead of time if you're going to be any good at it. So he's got to send them out and let them come back and figure out how well they do. So he sends them out, and in my opinion, this is a formative assessment. They go out, they do all this stuff. He says to them, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. He tells them right off the bat, this is going to be really hard. It's going to be rough, guys. I mean, they're going to beat you. They're going to be mad at you. They're going to ridicule you because of me. And in Luke 10, he see that he sends out other people to do similar things as well. 72, I think. And they come back, and I think the apostles did this too. This is why I share this. When they come back, they're like really excited. You know, they're like, gee, oh man, you're not going to believe, like even demons ran away from us. They ran away from us. And I'll tell you right now, I have had classes like this, okay, where like it went so well. Everything like happened like it was supposed to. And all the kids were like, oh man, I really got this today, Mr. Barger. That was really great. I really got this. And I'm like, oh yeah, you did that, not me. But secretly, I'm over here like, no, oh, you just got teachered, you know? And I always wonder if Jesus was like that, off in the corner somewhere going, you know? Like, this success, you know, he really did it. But he does this great thing, right? He gives the best teacher compliment. I've complimented students, right? Good job, you guys did great, I really love it. He gives the best teacher compliment ever, okay? He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I mean, really? They just came back and they're like, wow, we just did all the stuff. You're not going to believe what we did. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I can't, that, like, it strikes me in such an odd way. So imagine having Christ say that to you, having any teacher say something like that to you, right? That's how awesome it was. I knew you were doing well, even from here. Next slide. All right, so let them do it themselves. Jesus, even after all that, right, Christ, he did continued doing stuff with them, followed with them after that. You know, he gave them the power to do miracles. They were doing stuff with him along the way. Okay. That was the formative assessment. At the Last Supper, right, we see Jesus, in my opinion, right, as a teacher, I think he's giving them their test results, okay? He's got all these 12 people here. He's worked with them. These are his students. And I realize I'm focusing on the apostles specifically, but those are like his students. Those are the ones, okay? He gives them their test results. He says, Peter, you're going to kind of mess up a little bit, but you'll come around. You'll come around. Judas, man, you're not going to make it, you know? You're just not going to make it. And I've had Judases too, right? Not in the betrayal sense, not like that, but I've had Judases. And those kids are so, like, so hard, you know? You feel like you work with them. You work with them, you work with them, and you spend so much time and you really give them as much as you've given anybody else, and at the end they just don't get it. And you don't know what you did. You know, where you went wrong, you beat yourself up over a little bit about it. For me, I get over it. I move on. But for Jesus, you know, I always wonder, like, how that experience was with him. Because not, you know, Jesus wasn't just a student, right? He was a friend. And that had to be really hard. You know, from a teaching standpoint, losing a student like that is enough. But losing a friend's like that's a big deal. But Jesus did formative assessments. Like I told you, I think any great teacher already knows how their kids are going to do, how their students are going to do on the final before they get it, you know? So before he gave them the test, he knew how they were going to do. And we know Jesus dies, right? And we know the apostles kind of get lost and confused. And then he comes back and he takes them for one last little hurrah. And they go out on the mountain and he says, all right, is that up there? Can you do one more? Yeah, he says, go. All right, he's already sent them out once. He knew they could handle it. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's your turn. You know, he did it. He did all three parts, right? He did it for them, with them, and now he's going to go. You know, he says, I'm going to be with you in spirit, right? But you got to do this on your own. And if you guys know a little bit about where the apostles go from there, it's not so easy on them, you know? Most of them meet pretty rough fates in the end. So, okay, next slide, I guess. This is for Doc. So what? Right, I mean, you guys probably don't even care about that sort of thing so much. But for me, I think every day about how people learn. It's just the way my brain works. I mean, it's just who I am. I think about how to teach stuff, how people learn, and I'm really interested and fascinated by it. And so when I think about how Jesus taught, it's just one more reason that speaks to his divinity. Because I've put together units that don't last typically more than a month, that use all these parts. Some of them go really well, some of them not so well. But they're never more than a month. But Jesus did this over the span of years. And his plan was absolutely perfect. He had the best lesson plan any teacher's ever written, and it went over a period of time, and people followed him all the way through. And I know, with the exception of Judas kind of getting lost there, although I would argue that he was part of the plan. It's perfect. And it's not only perfect for them, right? It was perfect for us, because we get to kind of have this a similar experience along the way and get those same teachings and those same kinds of things, and it's preserved. I haven't written a lesson plan in my entire life that would do that for you guys. I'm sorry. But I guess my point is that we all have sort of different ways of viewing things, right? This is the lens which I view things, right? And so it's how I see Jesus a lot. And I'm always really fascinated by his education style. This is a very small chunk of the way that I see it. I could give you a whole list of my favorite teaching moments that he, just my favorite ones. I just love him as a teacher. He's amazing. But, I'm going to give you a little bit of a cheesy ending, all right? I really thought this was great, okay? So now, hopefully, you can say, Jesus, know what you always be doing, don't know other teacher be doing? But God, that's really funny. Seriously? That's hilarious. Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for being the teacher that you are. Thank you for continuing to go with us and walk with us. Lord, help us to be teachers like you, and help us to follow the word that you left behind. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric.